One if by land, two if by sea. Minuteman Radio continues with your host, the president of the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps, Chris Simcox.
Welcome back, folks, to KKNT 960 AM, The Patriot, Minuteman Radio. And just want to remind everybody that we're going to start our 30-day October muster here. On September is the first day we're going to have.
September 30th.
September 30th, yes. It's going to be Operation Blockwatch. And come and listen to the Minutemen, elected officials, and political hopefuls giving their accounts on national security and illegal immigration.
We've got some great guest speakers
yes,
for that kickoff.
We will have Michelle Delacroix from Mothers Against Illegal Aliens. We will have Russell Pierce, a state legislator. We will have Randy Graff for Congress, Bill Montgomery, and, of course, we're going to have Chris Simcox, our president. And so we have some great speakers there. It's going to take place at the King Anvil Ranch at Three Points, Arizona. You go from Tucson, take Route 86 west to Three Points, then take Route 286 south to mile marker 38, make a right-hand turn on the dirt road, and you will be at the entrance to the King Ranch.
Right, and those directions also, folks, you can get those on our website at www.minutemanhq.com.
Yes, and it starts at 11 a.m. on September the 30th. And if you need more information, you can also contact Stacey O'Connell, Arizona State Director, phone number 602-705-7947.
Stacey O'Connell, who's also running
for
city council
yes.
here in Phoenix. So it's a real loss to us to have, it's sort of a win-win in a situation, you know.
Absolutely.
You give some, you take some.
Yes.
We'll be losing a great patriot and a great leader here in the state of Arizona, but he'll move on to help lead the city of Phoenix.
And that's what we want to be.
And we do. We need more Minutemen in office, Minutemen,
yes.
Minutewomen.
Yes.
I was called to task about that yesterday in California, of course. I was asking them if they were with the ACLU, but no, they just wanted to be acknowledged that there are many Minutewomen out there on the lines and in the trenches working around the country. And it's an effort, our next 30-day 24/7 operation here in Arizona. If you want to participate, again, go to our website, call our offices, register to be a Minuteman. Come down and see what it's like on the border. Come
yes.
down and sit a shift in your lawn chair with your binoculars and your night vision. And help protect some of these ranchers down there that are just overrun.
And I also overheard that there's a possibility of one of our Minute Women that she might also run for city council. There's another position that's going to open up, and she's very interested in filling that seat.
You hear that, Washington, D.C.? You hear that, government? We're coming.
It's the year of the women.
We are going to participate. We have a caller, Dana, on the line. Dana wants to talk about, she has more info on the train. What do you know about this, Dana?
No, I think they took it wrong. I was wondering if you had any information where this was in the papers down in El Paso or somewhere in Arizona or something like that so I could look it up.
Yes, that's the Valley Star, valleystar.com. It's a local newspaper there in the El Paso area.
Okay.
Border Patrol agents said they rescued 20 people who were hidden, and many of them were trapped as the scrap metal had shifted on them. And of course, we've seen that many times down in the Tucson area where the trains that come in across the border have they've recovered many dead bodies of people who perished on their travels across. But you know, we talk about it, and these stories are, and it's something you need to do, Dana, and the listeners is if you go to Google or Yahoo and you can type in keywords for the news searches, and you can find all of these stories. And my desk is filled with them. I get so many every week. And you never hear about them in the mainstream media. And you have to go to some of these small local newspapers along the border to get these stories, the truth about what's going on. It's sad. And it's alarming when you see, again, when you talk about the nationalities coming across. Carmen and I were talking about earlier, with our Minutemen volunteers, since October of 2002, we've assisted Border Patrol with locating over 13,000 people that Border Patrol missed, representing people from 26 countries, including Nigeria, Morocco, Poland, the former Soviet Union, the states of the Soviet Union. We've even found Haitians
yes.
along the San Pedro
yes.
River. You know, who were left to die
mm-hmm.
out there. And so the world knows how to get into this country, and it's not on a visa.
Okay. Could I ask you one other quick question?
Sure.
What do you think the chances are that the Senate will pass any kind of a bill with the House in terms of the border security plan that the House passed? Of course, we're not going to talk about funding, but how about even doing something before the recess just to sync the two bills?
Well, I think we're going to get it. I think we're going to at least get the border fence bill passed. Right now, they're squabbling over language, of course. The Senate, being there, they're taking the high and mighty that they always do. They think that they're superior in Washington, D.C. They don't like being forced into doing something by the majority of our government, the other branch in our checks and balances of Congress, the House. They're squabbling over whether the language is going to say they may build a fence, 700 miles of fence, or whether they must build 700 miles of fence. I got some information on that from some of my inside sources in Washington last week, and that's why it didn't get passed last week, because they're squabbling over, just as Janet Napolitano did with the declaring a state of emergency and putting the National Guard. You remember that when Vito Napolitano said, well, I'm not going to pass this bill because it says I must put the National Guard on the border. You can't tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. Well, the Senate's taking the same tact on that right now.
Well, I just read an article that Fisk said that he didn't think it was going to pass before the recess, and I was just wondering, hopefully you're right rather than him.
Well, I hope so. You know what? It all comes down to right now, it's a calculated risk. Whether they do or whether they don't, and they are scrambling in every office.
Their political butts.
It is, and they're all calculating and figuring, okay, which votes are we going to lose, which votes are we going to gain, and that's the game that's being played, which is why, honestly, I'm a proponent for if we can't turn one of these parties around and reform them from inside within the next two election cycles, then I think it's time for a bona fide, legitimate third-party movement in this country. And we see that in California with the independent voters. You see it across the country. Here in Arizona, we have over 700,000 registered independent voters who are looking for some leadership. They're tired of playing this party politics, and we're caught in the middle. And I'm confident and optimistic that we're going to see at least something before the general election.
Well, very good, and thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Dana.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye, Dana. You know, Chris, on the NACO line, when we do our patrols there, we usually have a train coming from Mexico, and how we often thought when they wear the ski masks that they're drug runners. I'm thinking now maybe they wanted to disguise that they were from a different nationality, possibly.
Well, it could be. We're not sure that they're trying to disguise themselves until they get across the border in the dark. Could be drug dealers. I know we've sat there along the NACO corridor and watched the train on the Mexican side come up to the border, right along about a mile off the border, actually less than a mile. And the train is just filled with people.
Yes, but not all of them always wore the ski masks.
No.
You know, there were just a few and few out of different groups that would do that. And so I'm wondering if that was maybe one of the reasons.
It could well be. You know, it's talking about the bills, of course, the House this week passed a few more very important bills.
Yes.
And we were quite pleased to see that. The House of Representatives passed three more pieces of important legislation aimed at increasing border security and cracking down on illegal immigration. And, you know, folks, you know as well as I, they can pass all the bills in the world, but unless they back them up, I mean, that's one of the issues we have now. The discussion should not be about immigration. It should not be about immigration reform. It's about enforcing the laws that you've already created.
Yes.
I mean, it makes a mockery of our system in this country. When the House continued to pass bill after bill after bill, just as they did in 1986, and never back them up, never enforce them, it makes a mockery of our rule of law. It's no wonder that many of the people who are illegal come in and just flaunt the fact that they're illegal because they know we won't enforce our laws.
Absolutely.
We won't do anything about it. And it's despicable when it comes to law enforcement or politicians playing playing games with this issue. But this week we had H.R. 4437, an enforcement-only measure passed by the House in December. And that one was sort of passed again. We had H.R. 6094, the Community Protection Act of 2006. This legislation would give the Department of Homeland Security the ability to extend detention beyond the current six-month maximum for criminal aliens who otherwise are unable to be deported. Now, get this. We actually have a clause in this, that if we catch someone who committed a crime and they're in this country illegally, we can only hold them 6 months?
Yeah.
Well, what do we do with them after 6 months?
Right.
That's where you get the catch and release program. Even these criminals who've been captured and committing crimes and have been released over and over again only to commit more crimes until ultimately someone dies, such as we had a horrendous, horrendous death in Colorado, Castle Rock, Colorado last week, where a woman was dragged to her death behind a vehicle. And she was identified as a mother of three from the Mexican state of, here we go with my Spanish, I failed Spanish in Guerrero. The Mexican consul said that Luz Maria Franco Fierros, 49, who was an illegal alien in our country with three children who were ill, you know, at this point considered American citizens because they were born here.
Right.
Well, her live-in boyfriend got into a domestic dispute, and he beat her up, tied a rope around her neck, tied it to the back of his pickup truck, and drove her over a mile. And, of course, she unfortunately died. Well, this man had been captured three times. Where's this at? They believe that the murderer, the alleged murderer, Ruby Navra, is an illegal immigrant from Mexico. They confirmed that they had arrested him three times on traffic charges, but released him. And, in fact, released him on one occasion because Immigration Customs Enforcement directed them to release him because he had not committed any violent crimes until ultimately he committed a violent crime. And unfortunately, another person's dead, even though it's not an American citizen, it's a human being. And, you know, we had the caller, Ada, who called in earlier. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes the attitudes of people, you know, the frustration level is built to the point where people do want to group everyone together. And Carmen and I can tell you, look, I have great compassion for many of the people that are coming across that border.
Absolutely.
I do. And that's because of the policies of Mexico. Mexico that's on the verge of a civil war, a political uprising there, where you have the loser in the presidential election, Obrador, who is now forming his own shadow government. There's going to be some really serious bloodshed
so
in Mexico
too.
Coming
yeah.
up. And the reason people are coming across the border, there's two reasons. It's because they're caught in the middle, because they have no economic opportunities in Mexico. And why aren't these open borders, ACLU, human rights people, not screaming and demanding that let them go to the UN and say, look, why don't you put sanctions on Mexico for the exploitation of their citizens?
There you go.
And the ethnic cleansing that's mm-hmm. going on. And that's why people are coming across. They have no opportunities. Mexico is an oligarchy. The rich get rich. The poor get poor. And
yes.
And of course, when you look to the north and you see a country who doesn't secure its borders, doesn't enforce its laws, and openly hires, which is a class 5 felony, by the way, friends, hiring an illegal alien is a class 5 felony.
Mm-hmm.
Harboring an illegal alien is a class 5 felony. Transporting them is a class 5 felony. We don't see too many people being held accountable for that. But we've rescued many people in the desert who've been exploited. You do see their faces. You do see the desperation on their faces. And I do have great compassion for that, because I have compassion for all human beings. Everyone deserves a better opportunity. But the people that are coming from the countries need to work their system and work within their system to force change,
mm-hmm.
even if it means, as we've seen in Mexico and other countries, even if it means a violent uprising and civil unrest. Take it over. I'd like to see the ACLU and Humane Borders and all of these open borders people, let them move to Mexico. Let them work in Mexico to help reform their government and to build schools and to build water treatment plants and sewage treatment plants and improve the lives of the citizens of Mexico so that they're not forced into this situation. But I still draw the line. It's our border is sovereign. You're welcome to come into this country, but you will come by our rules, or you'll be repelled, and you're not coming in. May seem mean and hateful or whatever, but you know what? When we're fighting a war on terror, when we're fighting a war on drugs and crime and gangs, and when you hear the stories that I give you each week here that you don't get in the mainstream media, you don't understand that thousands, of American citizens are dying every year at the hands of people who came into this country illegally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, I said people, human beings, who come into this country to prey on a weak society because they know we don't enforce our laws. They know local law enforcement has no authority to enforce the laws. Actually, they do have the authority from the federal government, but locally we need to put pressure on them to enforce these laws. A mother of three, dragged to death. It's just out of control, and it's the crime that we're talking about. You secure the borders, you force an orderly queue of legal immigration, you check out who's coming across, you give them background checks, you screen them, and our communities are safer. We have enough domestic crime of our own, and we've seen that. Our own citizens, and actually, crime domestically has been on the decrease over the years. Now we're seeing a spike in crime again in communities all across the country. And it's no secret where that crime is coming from. When you when you scour the internet and the local newspapers and local television news reports across this country, you'll find it. You'll find these stories. In fact, we're adding a page to our website, MinutemanHQ.com, about the deaths that have occurred at the hands of illegal aliens in this country. Washington, D.C. is responsible for that. We'll be right back after this break.